Bless the Lord, each and everyone. I'm just here by unction of the Holy Spirit to encourage us as mothers, as caregivers, to press in the place of prayer and to covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ as it regards to the preservation of the life of our children, of our lineage, of our generation, because the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 31 that the father is the sower grave and has set the children's teeth on edge. There's another passage of scripture in Lamentation 5:7 which declares our fathers have sinned and are no more, but we bear or have borne their iniquities. Now what this is generally speaking about is the ramifications and the consequences of the fathers or forefathers or parental sins, trespasses and transgressions that are negatively affecting the children. Hallelujah. And we can see instances in the Bible, and I will just name a few. I can mention in the book of 2 Samuel 12, where we see where the prophet Nathan came to King David, hallelujah, to declare judgment on his house. And this was a direct result of his involvement with Bathsheba and the adultery that he committed and the murder of her husband Uriah. And the prophet declared, hallelujah, that the sword will not leave David's house. And we see the prophecy being fulfilled where the child died. We see violence in David's family, the public humiliation, the instances occur where we see where Amnon was David's son, and Tamar, the daughter, Amnon actually raped Tamar, hallelujah, and Absalom, which was one of David's son as well, he killed Amnon, hallelujah. So that was a spirit of murder right there. Now Absalom, going forward, we see his rebellion, and then we see Adonijah attempting to seize the throne. Now all of that was a result of David's sin, and the sin had the consequence toward the children. Now I want to speak to you just a little bit about a very poignant figure in the Bible. Her name was Rizpah. And Rizpah, we see, and we learn about Rizpah in the book of 2 Samuel 21. Rizpah was actually one of Saul's concubine, or King Saul, if you rather, one of his concubines, and mother to his two sons, and their names was Armoni and Mephibosheth. Now, what had happened was that there was a famine in the land of Israel, and this famine actually took place as a result of, as David saw the Lord for the revelation, as a result of Saul's insolence and breach of covenant. Now the storyline tells us, hallelujah, that what Saul had done was to massacre the Gibeonites, and as atonement David had to now hand over not one, not two, but seven of Saul's descendants to the Gibeonites, who executed them by hanging and exposing their bodies on a hill. Now for time's sake, I will just kind of paraphrase what everything that happened. The backstory was that Joshua had actually covenanted or made what we call a peace treaty with the Gibeonites. Glory to God, because the Gibeonites had actually deceived Joshua, because they saw that the Israelites were actually advancing, and in order, in an attempt rather to save their own lives, they acted as ambassadors from a distant land and convinced Joshua to make peace with them in order that their lives would be saved. Now fast forward, what we see was their ruse being hallelujah unveiled, and what Joshua did, instead of getting rid of them, he made them woodcutters and the carriers of the congregation and the altar of the Lord. They made them woodcutters and water carriers, right? So Saul now, in his zeal for Israel and the people of Judah, he violated that covenant by totally annihilating, destroying them by genocide. Hallelujah. And this, of course, was an offense to God, as we know that God is a covenant-keeping God. Now, the result of this is that the Gibeonites actually came to King David for retribution. And what we see happen was that David now had to hand over five of Saul's grandsons, which were five of the sons of his daughter, right? I think her name was Merab, and two of Saul's direct sons, right? And they had to be killed. Rispa now, what she did was to take sackcloth and spread it out on a rock and remain there. The Bible tells us from the beginning of the barley harvest until the rains came, and this was for several months. Now, during that time, Rispa kept what we call a vigil over the bodies, protecting them from wild animals by day and predator birds by day. The birds by day and the animals by night. Now, what I am saying to you is this. We have to press in prayer for our children, to rebuke the devourer of our children, to pray for forgiveness for the sins of the father, that they will not affect the children, that the children will be delivered from the predators, the spiritual predators and the vulture birds, the spiritual vultures by day. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, that 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us. That's in Psalm 91. The Bible again tells us, hallelujah, about the pestilence that by day, the arrows by day, and the pestilence by night. Hallelujah. So the children have become seemingly what of like an endangered species, and most of the things that are happening to the children is a direct result of the sins of the father, and the children are paying the price for it, and it should not be so. The children are innocent, but because they carry the blood and the DNA of the fathers, and the curses have been passed down into the DNA, that is why we see most of the children are suffering. They suffer from curses of sickness, curses of lack, curses of poverty, hallelujah, and in other instances, curses of premature death and untimely death. Now, I have given to you these examples in the Bible so that you can use them as a premise or a basis by which you will make your prayers known unto God for the children. Hallelujah. It should not be said of the children that because the father have eaten the sour grape, as I have mentioned in Jeremiah 31, that the children's teeth are set up at edge, that the children's lives are in misery, that the children are seem as if, you know, they are some satanic bounty hunters. Listen, it should not be said of the children, hallelujah, that the children have to suffer the consequences of the sins of the parents, generation curses that are affecting the children, hallelujah, ancestral curses. Those covenants and contracts, pacts and oaths must be broken from off the children in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus' blood was shed that the children might live. The word of God declares that he came to give us life and that more abundantly, hallelujah. So I am imploring upon us as people of God, as caregivers, as carriers of children. And also, thank you, Holy Spirit. Another thing, there are some traumas that we as mothers have experienced even during pregnancy. And those traumas have been passed down to the children by way of conception, placental curses. And we are to pray to break them, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, will have mercy upon our children, upon our generation. If you have not physically birth that child, pray, you carry a womb, hallelujah, and we are able to birth things from the spiritual into the natural by way of our wombs. We carry also a spiritual womb, people of God. It is time for us to awake out of sleep and slumber. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But the book of Proverbs tells us that by knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. Glory to God. So the Bible is there, hallelujah, to as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to show us, hallelujah, the way of deliverance. Deliverance does not come by bathing in mud or bad pan. Deliverance does not come, hallelujah, by going to the Obia man to go broke egg. Deliverance does not come by way of, using potions, hallelujah, potions. Deliverance comes by the word of God, the Spirit of God. God bless you.